Okay. So we are in Hilchos Deos, Perek Bet Halacha Zayin, chapter 2, verse 7. I don't know if we'll finish this today, maybe. If not, definitely tomorrow. The goal is before we break for Hanukkah to finish Perek Bet. Okay? Lo yehei adam bal schok u'mahatalot v'lo atzel v'onem. Okay? And you think about this. If you're going to find balance, like the Rambam basically is saying, that balance is balance. It's balance in everything. Okay? And it's balance in behavior, in attitude, in perspective. So you meet sometimes people who, they're always fun. They're always laughing. They're always fooling around, etc. And sometimes you wonder, when you really take a close look, you know, whether underneath all that external noise is inner pain. You know, when people are always joking around, it's almost like sometimes they're afraid to be serious. Because they get too serious, they have to kind of confront how serious life is. And sometimes you get people who are the opposite. They're just always serious. Nebuch, you know? I had a Rebbe like that. Guy just did not know how to crack a smile, right? And I don't know what was inside of him, but even mitzad the exterior, right? So you have to find that middle ground. Like, it's one thing to fool around once in a while. What's the matter? So come sit over here. Get out of here! No, just kidding, right? So, right? Wondering what anybody listening to this tape next year is going to think. But okay. But so you shouldn't be too intense. And one of the questions, by the way, is, how do you know? Like, how do you know if you're too much on one end or too much on the other end? Think about this. Okay? How do you know?
People tell you.
That's the only way you know. The only way you know that you've headed into another extreme is that people have the ability to tell you, which is why we're eventually going to get to Perek Vav that talks about how you tell somebody this type of thing, which is not an easy thing. But as a rule, right? Ela sameach. Now, if you had to pick the middle ground, right? So this is where the Rambam is a master. Like, what's the middle in between too much fooling around and too serious? You know, somebody who is just jolly all the time to the extreme, you just can't take it. And somebody who just always looks depressed. Like, I had a friend, and every time I would get together with her, she just always looked depressed. She was always sharing her pain. And like, at a certain point, it would exhaust you. Like, you wouldn't want to go out with her because, like, you couldn't handle, like, a D&M every night in the week, right? So how do you find that middle ground? So the Rambam says that middle ground, like, what would you call that? So the Rambam calls it simcha. Now, why is simcha, why is joy the middle between these two extremes?
Because you should always be happy.
That's a given answer, and that's what the Rambam says. What does that mean? Why is that in between these two things? What does that have to do with a guy who doesn't fool around too much? Why does that make him happy? Like, why is happiness the goal?
Simcha is doing things for their purpose, and maybe it's not that he's just always joking around, but he takes every situation the way, like, in a good way.
Oh. What does it mean that someone's fool? Yeah? Right, that's true. So if you think about it then, what's the problem with Holalut? Like, you'll see Bezrat Hashem on Purim. Like, you'll maybe there's a little bit more on you guys than on us. Maybe you'll taste a little bit of it on Hanukkah. Maybe at the Masiba tomorrow night if you guys are serious. I don't know if you're prepared for the Masiba. But on Purim, you'll see there's a lot of Holalut on Purim. Right? Pardon? A lot of fooling around, a lot of jolliness. Like, you know, just guys get seriously into that energy, right? Like, that energy of Purim is the energy that if you have it every day of the year, something's wrong. But if you don't have it on Purim, something's also wrong, right? Okay. So there's this. So why is that okay on Purim, right? Because what's the difference between Holalut, which is too much, between fooling around, joking, you know, you ever meet people, like you see this sometimes in movies, people who are practical jokers and they just can't. I remember once, I think it was an Oprah show, and there was this guy, she had this this expert who was talking about, I don't know how it started because I only came in the middle, but there was like a couple of couples, and the husband was a prankster, Okay? And he was a really funny guy. Like, at the first minute that you're listening to them, you don't get what the issue is. It turns out that he just can't stop fooling around. Just always making pranks, you know? And some of the stories that they were telling, that there's something off with that. But what makes that off? What makes it off is whether it has purpose. You know, it's ultimately in everything that you do, like, what is simcha? We said simcha is all about purpose. Like, real joy comes from purpose. The reason you have joy when you meet the right person is because you complete your purpose with the right person. Somebody who's happy here is happier because they feel there's a purpose to their being here. Somebody who's unhappy here is unhappy because they don't know what the purpose is. Someone who's struggling sees that there are some things that have purpose and some things that don't. And that's, most of life is like that. Right? So if a person does hold aloof, if a person's fooling around just for the sake of fooling around, you know, it's like peer pressure. Like, what's the problem with peer pressure? Peer pressure can be a good thing, but it can also be a negative thing. Right? If we do things simply because we want to gain acceptance by our peers, right? So sometimes that can be a very negative thing because that's not really the reason to do those things. That's the only reason that it's a problem, right? Simcha is all about purpose. The extreme, right? So we said one way that you can know that you've gone off the balanced middle and maybe are heading in the direction of extreme is just someone will tell you. But that someone can be wrong. The real way to sense that you're a little off that middle ground is when you examine yourself and start to ask yourself, what's the purpose of this? You know? Like, let's say you're at a party, and it's a, I don't know, it's a bachelor party for your friend who's getting married. And let's assume that it's a healthy bachelor party, right? There's all men at the bachelor party, and maybe you've got, like, people are in a good mood, and you're sharing Divrei Torah, whatever you think a healthy bachelor party would be, and you realize that people are too serious. And you look at the chassan, you look at the groom who's getting married in a couple of days, and maybe you know that he's nervous about getting married, and you realize he needs a good time. So you jump up on a table, and you're a natural-born comedian, and you start doing stand-up comedy, and everybody starts laughing. So that's not holulut. That's not schok. That's not somebody who's being too, I don't know what the right word is. It's like a jester, I don't know, whatever, right? But that's healthy, because you're doing that for a purpose. You're doing that to be mesameach somebody. That's actually a mitzvah. So the ability to recognize that you've sort of gone off the middle path is just asking yourself whether there's a purpose to it. Right? Make sense? That's true with everything. I challenge you to find any example where that's not the case. That's how you know. Right? Kach amru chachamim schok v'kalut rosh margilin et ha'adam le'erva. Okay, so this one comes out of left field. What does this have to do with anything? So Chacham said that when a person has too much schok, too much laughing, too much lightheadedness, too much fooling around, it gets a person used to erva, to sexual improprieties, to licentious behavior, right? You get into trouble. Why is that? Why do you think, what does one have to do with the other?
It makes everything less serious.
And if everything is less serious?
Yeah, it becomes less serious to
everything. Well, I think it's more than everything else because he chooses that example. In other words, what's the difference between erva, between improper activity along those lines, along sexual lines, and proper, is whether it has purpose. Like, why is it that Judaism suggests that relations between a man and a woman come when you get married? Because that means that both sides have committed that it's more than just a physical experience. There's something bigger than this. You want to build something together, so it has purpose, and that brings you simcha. And, you know, some of you may have met people like this, and some of you may have just read this in books or seen this in movies. When a person gets, you know, I've had students who tell me that that they've gotten so into that world of erva, you know, that every night is a different person, and that the worst feeling in the world is that you wake up so empty, that you just can't wait to get out of there because you realize that you did something that had such potential and you did it for no real purpose, right? Just to pleasure yourself. So that's not a real purpose. So one of these is related to the other. Schok, which is problematic because it doesn't have deep internal purpose, is going to lead you to other types of behavior that really are abusive because they don't have purpose. And this is the ultimate example. Make sense? Right? So, v'tzivu shelo yeh adam parutz b'tzchok, v'lo atzevu mitabel. Mamash Chachamim said a person should really try not to be laughing all the time. Like, you have to know when to be serious. And you have to know when to laugh and not to be too serious. Like, it sounds like such a strange statement to say. Can you imagine we sit down on the first day of a raita and say, listen, I just want to talk to you about, like, the atmosphere we're trying to create. We don't want anybody here laughing too much. And but we don't want you to be too serious either. Like, you wouldn't know what to do with that. But now that you sort of see it in the context, there is a certain logic to it. Like, imagine you get to college and you have a roommate. You have two roommates, right? There's three of you. And one of them just all the time laughing, hysterical, making jokes, whatever. At a certain point, it would just be exhausting. Like, you couldn't handle it. Let's say you have another guy in the room and he's just really serious. You know, you come in and you just turn on, I don't know, the TV, right, which you borrowed just for the night because the Rebbe had it for bringing, and you turn it on to Friends, right, or Seinfeld. And he turns around and he says, we really don't encourage humor in our room. This is a very serious place. So there's like something off with that. You got to find the middle ground, right? It's good Jewish humor. So you got to find that balance, right? Ella Makabel, now here it gets interesting. So you shouldn't be too sad or serious, and you shouldn't be too fooling around jolly. Ella Mikabel et kol adam b'sever panim yafot. There's another one out of the blue. Like, I would just think it should say again, Ella Samech tamid, be happy. But that's not what he says. He says, rather, accept every person b'sever panim yafot. Now, what's a sever panim yafot? Okay?
In a favorable manner.
Favorable, friendly. You know? I mean, that's actually one of the things I love about this place. I don't know why it is. This is the second year in a row that I feel this. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just the way I want to see it. But I notice that when guests come in here, and this is true even when once in a while somebody comes in and you're not quite sure what this person's doing here, or maybe he's causing you some stress because you think, like, we're taking in, you know, some person that you might not think would normally be a part of the yeshiva, whatever. That's happened a couple times. I notice that everybody accepts anyone who walks in the door in a good space. Like, people come in here and they just feel, it doesn't matter, you're... And what really amazed me about this was that when we had that whole discussion, and we were talking, and someone was saying, a couple guys were saying, like, they felt there was, like, a bad vibe in the yeshiva or whatever, it really amazed me because I think it was just that day that a couple of guys had come to visit, and there was one fellow that, for whatever the reasons, people sort of weren't sure he fit in here, and they may be right, but not for the reasons that they thought. And yet the same person who was struggling with that, or one of the boys who was struggling with this issue, I watched him really be welcoming. Like, it doesn't mean you feel it. Like, think about it. The panim, right, the face, is not what's inside. You know? Like, there have been days where, you know, sometimes related to a writer, something has nothing to do with a writer, where you just got a lot going on. You're stressed, you're intense, right? You come back, I don't know. I took my car yesterday to the musach because my wife heard a noise under the engine. Me, I'm half deaf. I don't hear these things. But I learn when my wife says something, she's usually right. So I took the car to the musach, and I just said, like, we did a tipul, we did the, I don't know what they call this in English, but like every X number of kilometers, you have to do a service, right? So we did the major 120,000 kilometer service, right? And somebody's going to listen to half this tape and think, is that like after Yom Kippur service, whatever? But anyway, so we did this major, never mind. So we did this like major service, and the guy calls me up, he says, listen, you've had an accident. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, your radiator is punctured and the bridge to your air conditioner is smashed and the this and the that and whatever. I think you really should involve your insurance, right? Because it's like somebody banged into your car. And I don't think they banged in from the front, which is why there's no dent in the front. They banged it on the side. Okay. Right? So it doesn't matter how it happened, whatever. Right? So I got off the phone. I said, okay. So I called up the insurance agent and, you know, called my wife and we got it rolling. And that's why I had to run out of here in the middle of the day because they were going to move it to another musachim. So these things, they stress you. Like, you got a lot going on and you had your day planned and you had an hour to sit with a student and another hour to catch up and all of a sudden it's gone, whatever. But then somebody walks in who you didn't expect to see. So all that has to be put on the side. Because this person walking into your life, they don't know that you're having a challenging day. It's not their business. You just have an opportunity to be nice to somebody. Right? But it doesn't mean you can necessarily change the inside. If every time you meet somebody, you have to be internally happy on the level to receive them, then you'll just never meet people. Like, it's a lot of work to get to that stage. But at the very least, to give off a countenance of being happy. Now, does that make sense? Right? That's just a nice thing to do. And then the Mishnah, by the way, does anybody know who says, Hevi Kabel called Abbasir Panim Yafot? Who says some guy in Pirkei Avos is usually a good guess, right? Anybody know who that is? Who would be the least likely? Nope. Who would be the least likely Tana if you... Shammai is the one who says it. Yep. That's right. Because Shammai is the one who's famous for losing his temper, or maybe he didn't lose his temper with some guy, right? Some guy comes in and says, teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot. And according to Gemara, he was doing it on a dare. You know, he wanted to see if he could get, you know, Hillel angry. Shammai angry. There's a whole discussion there. So Shammai sends him away. He says, I'm not teaching Torah to somebody who's not serious. That, by the way, is a valid approach. Like, you can't give somebody something that they don't want, so why waste the time? So people have this perception of Shammai as like this negative image. But if we're still studying the words of Shammai, if the Mepharshim say that when Mashiach comes, we're actually going to adopt Beit Shammai, whether that's literal or an allegory, so there's a lot of real Torah there. Shammai is the one who says, based on the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, that you should receive every person in a friendly fashion. Right? But now the question is, what does this have to do with this middle ground? Like, why is this? Like, before we said it was simcha. Why is this the middle between being too serious and being too fooling around? What do you think? Like, I don't know, where does this come from? Anybody? Nobody? No theory? Yeah?
If you're too serious, you might not want to, like, approach anyone in front of that. If you just, like, approach them really seriously and be all, like, stern with them. If you're really, like, joking around, you're, like pretend it is if you're their best friend, and, like, that's not right either. You're just kind of in the middle, isn't, like, being in front of them.
I hear that. I hear that. I think we need to define it a little more. Why is that in the middle? Like, why is the face in the middle? I don't think the Rambam does these things by accident. Do you hear the question? Yeah? All right, I'll tell you what I think, but if anybody comes up with another theory, I think that this is one of the places where the Rambam alludes not to what you should be doing, but to how you get there. So the Rambam starts by saying, really, you should be besimcha. Besimcha means that everything has purpose, right? Like, for some reason, my car is meant to stay in the Musach today. I don't know why. Maybe I'm being saved from an accident. Maybe I need to think about engines. I don't know. And maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I won't. But there's some purpose to it. And since I believe there's some purpose to it, can't really stress me out. I don't get that stressed in these things, right? So a person comes into your life. If you don't accept him in a friendly fashion, it means that you don't really get that there's some reason that he's coming into your life, right? There's some reason that you're meant to have that discussion at that time. And that's what Hashem wants of you. So, in fact, it's almost the opposite. It's like when someone comes into your life that you didn't expect, right? Even if it's just walking into the Beis Midrash early because you're going to get some work done or maybe do a little meditative learning, and there's a student and he says, "Can we chapa shmuz?" So why do you accept him with a happy countenance? Because Hashem decided, once again, Hashem is stirring the pot. Hashem says, that's not what you should be doing now. Here's what you could be doing now. So that's exciting. That's interesting. Like, okay, so let's find out why this is or not. Like, that's where it comes from, number one. Number two, what if you don't feel that inside? What if you're not there? Like, what if you are stressed and you're annoyed? People sometimes get annoyed. You're annoyed. And some new guy comes in, whatever, and, I don't know, you just broke up with your girlfriend on the phone, and we've accepted a new student. And, you know, John walks into your room and says, "Hi, I'm your new roommate." So you're like stressed because you just broke up with your girlfriend. And here comes the guy and he walks in, right? So what do you do about that? So says the Rambam, start with the outside. It's hard to get the inside going, but at least you can start with the outside. Just like we said the other day, if you want to be a kind person and you're not there, behave as though you're a kind person. Because if you practice acts of kindness, you will become a kind person. You want to be a happy person? You want to be in a space that you have a positive impact on everyone? Behave as though you're in a positive space, and you will get into a more positive space. Okay? I mean, if anybody here sort of did a little exploring this morning during davening. So if we did this kind of davening with guitar and singing and hallel every day, you'd fry. Like, we're just, I mean, I can only speak for myself. Like, I couldn't do that every day. But every once in a while, it's a nice thing to do, right? Over Hanukkah. So if you were in a little bit of a stressed place, and now you're in Hallel, and you say, okay, for whatever the reason, we're not going to finish exactly this time, we're going to finish at that time. So some people get stressed because, like, I've got to make a phone call, or I'm hungry, or whatever. Some people say, okay, I'm just going to be in the moment.
Who's making a phone call when it's, like, in the middle of the night back home?
Okay, that's an important comment. I'm glad we're there. I'm not sure, whatever. Whatever it is, you make a phone call to your Rebbe because your Rebbe isn't here on time and you're worried about him and you're so struggling with the question in the Masechta that you can't hold it up and you want to make the phone call at the end of davening, right? It could be, right? You want to know the answer, there you go, right? So, if you step inside the moment and you decide to be in the nigga and in whatever, right? So then, when you finish that experience, you're actually in a different space. You actually get into a different space by acting as though you're in a different space. That's what the Rambam is saying here. I want you to know, this is such an important idea. I can't even begin to tell you. Of all the things that we have studied, I cannot think of a more important thing to practice than this detail. If you want to find a recipe for ethical growth, for character development, I cannot think of a more valuable thing than deciding that you're going to be in a different state of mind and behaving as though you're in that state of mind and watching how it affects you. We choose whether the environment determines where we are or whether we choose to determine our environment. It's that simple. It's very easy to say. It's very hard to do. Practice with it. Wake up one morning, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Hanukkah break, whatever it is tomorrow, and be not in such a great space, and decide you're going to behave as though you're in a great space, and watch how it changes your mood. Pshat! You know? And I think maybe that's what the Rambam is saying here. V'chein lo yeh bal nefesh rechava. Okay, so we should stop here. We'll finish this halacha and Perek Bet Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Okay? Shkayach.